Hey everyone, thank you for listening to the Focus Point Podcast. I'm really glad you decided to give us a listen. I hope that the words that you hear will encourage you and bless you. I encourage you also to share this with your family and your friends. If you need more information, you can head over to thepointoffocus.com where you'll find other podcast episodes, blog posts, videos, and just some more general information about our ministry. Thank you again for listening. I hope you enjoy the episode. Grab a Bible, whether it's paper or electronic, and get it open to Exodus chapter 3. We will be in verse 16, and we're going to go through chapter 4, verse 17. So we're going to do a little bit of reading today in this episode as we continue on in this series in the book of Exodus and in the series that we started last week, When God Rolls Up His Sleeves. I'm excited to continue on through this, to actually look at it through this lens has been a little bit different for me. But yeah, God went and he did all of these things, as we're going to see as the series goes on. But you think about it, God rolled up his sleeves when he was doing this. And so we're going to see a little bit of this, but we're going to continue with this conversation that we started last week with Moses. And Moses now was coming to the understanding that God wasn't done with him yet, even though he had done what he had done, and even though he wasn't ready and he didn't all of this stuff, still God was going to use him. And we used the line, if you're not dead, God's not done. And then we also saw how God listens to us, how God hears us. When Exodus 3:7, where he tells us, where the Bible tells us that I've heard the oppression of my people. And that's just indication that God hears us. And so we've been going along in this, and I'm excited to continue. So we're going to see a little bit kind of a repeat to kind of fill us in. We're going to see something that God says that just will give you goosebumps, I think, because I mean, it's a powerful, powerful statement. So let's just dive right in here. Exodus chapter 3, verse 16. And God is still kind of talking to Moses. Moses is like, who, as we talked about last week, who will I say sent me? And then we see that God said, tell him I am sent you to me, Yahweh. And it says, this is my eternal name. And we talked a little bit about that. And as I said, I did a whole episode on talking about that name of Yahweh. So if you want to check that out, it's available in our archives, thepointoffocus.com. You can go look at that. And the reason why I bring that up is because we see in verse 16, as we start our text for today, it says, now go and call together all the elders of Egypt. Tell them Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, I've been watching you closely, and I have seen how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. I will lead you to a land flowing of milk and honey. And so we see this, because remember, he promised, like Joseph said this promise, that he was going to, when we looked at Genesis 50, 24, where it says, God will come and get you out of this land. And so we continue to read, the elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell them, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. That's just powerful text right there. That's just God saying, unless a mighty hand forces him, unless I roll up my sleeves, he will not let you go. So I will raise my hand and I will strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. Then at last he will let you go. And I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. And so he continues with a little bit of stuff there. But basically God is saying, like, hey, I'm going to throw down for you. You just need to go and do what I said. But even after all of this, okay, right? God is basically lining it up. He's basically saying, hey, man, I'm going to do it all. You just got to do some of these steps. And this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And there you go. But we start chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses protested. It says, Moses protested again. What if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw his staff, threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake, and Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. First of all, that's something I would probably have a little bit of trouble doing. Me and snakes can stay as far away from each other as I can, and I would particularly not prefer one of, like, if I had a staff, I would particularly not prefer that to turn into a snake and me have to pick it up by its tail. Okay, just a little bit of ad lib about good old me here. Snakes and I can just stay away, all of that. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe the Lord, that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, has really appeared to you. Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your coat, inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside his cloak and he took it out again. It was leprous. It was white as snow. Or it had a severe skin disease. Leprosy is in other, we see the term leprosy in other translations. And so, He said, now put it back in your coat and pull it out. And it was completely restored. Sorry, I lost my place there. So the Lord said to Moses, if they do not believe you or are not convinced by this miraculous sign, they will be convinced by the second. So if the stick didn't work turning into a snake, then leprosy will work. Basically, give yourself leprosy in front of them, put your hand in, it'll be healed, like that'll work. Okay, so he's indicating that there's a possibility that there's going to be some kickback here, because, you know, God spoke to me is a big thing to say to people. Moses has a legitimate, like, concern here, right? It's legitimate. It's a human being, you know, and I know human beings nowadays that are afraid to say, you know, I feel God told me this. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, really? Right. Yeah, okay. It's a standard reflection of what people do then, and they still kind of do now. So verse 9, and if they don't believe you or listen to you even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the ground, and when you do, the water will turn to blood on the ground. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Then the Lord said to Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or not, or don't speak, hear or don't hear, see or do not see? It is I, the Lord. Now go, I will speak, I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. So he's kind of like making up all these, what if they don't believe me? I can't talk very well. And then Moses says, verse 13, Lord, please, just send anyone else. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother, Aaron? I know he speaks well. And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with you both as you speak. And I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesperson to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand there in place of God for him, telling him what to say. Take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous sign I have shown you. And now it's this, and then the rest of it, it's kind of like he asked for to go and all of this. And he performs the miracles and things like that. And so, but we see here is these excuses, right? And it's just this idea that sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes we make excuses for what God has for us, even though God has clearly, like, spelled it out for us. Moses had everything there. Say this, do this. Say this, do this. Say this, do this. If this happens, do this. If this happens, do that. God was laying it all out for him. And it is not easy for Moses to just, all right. He just kept going and going, and to the point where it's like God got upset, got the Lord angry with Moses. Fine, take Aaron with you. Like, he's just like, quit making excuses and just go. Just do it. I will be with you. And so, as we see all of this, and it says at the end of chapter 4, it says, then the people of Israel were convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron. When they had heard the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed and worshipped. And so we get to this point, and everything worked out just like God said. And as we're going to see over the next episode, at least, Pharaoh is a little bit stubborn with it. And we're going to see that in Exodus 5, where God kind of tells Moses that Pharaoh's going to be hard-hearted. And so we are going to talk about that next week. But I wanted to share a little bit of a story here about this kind of thing, this making excuses, this not wanting to venture into something new or different. And I'm not talking like, this was a big deal for Moses, okay? He wasn't just going to talk to a buddy, right? This was a king, okay? It's like, it'd be equivalent to us walking in to the president's Oval Office, walking into the White House, right into the Oval Office, and dropping the hammer down on the current president. And just saying whatever comes to our pretty little head and hoping that we don't get in trouble for it. And it's even stricter back then. Like, if you said something wrong in front of a king, he could just have you executed because you said something wrong. So we can't make light of the situation that God wasn't just telling Moses to go and, you know, talk to the man behind the counter because they messed up his cheeseburger. Okay, this was a big deal for Moses. So we can't make light of it, but the similar things happen to us. Like, God, like, we feel God pulling or pushing us or wanting us to do something big or small or indifferent. It doesn't matter. And we get kicked. We kind of kick back. We're like, oh, well, I don't know. Like, and the same thing, a similar thing happened to me. And I was established, right? I mean, Moses, watching sheep, easy job. He was there. It's not easy, but, you know, it's easier than maybe probably managing a kingdom like he would have been doing if he had stayed in Egypt, right? So we see this here, and I think of this story. So in my whole life, I've attended only two churches regularly. I've been visited other churches, so like that kind of thing. But my home church in the city that I live in, I've attended two churches. One I grew up in till about, you know, young adulthood, mid-20s. And then mid-20s and on, I've been at another church. So really only two churches. And so this story has to do with this. And it kind of mirrors Moses' story here. And I grew up in a church. And, you know, born and raised, you know, you could even say that I was attending church before I was born and all this stuff like that, because, you know, just to be funny. And, you know, nursery, all of these things. In middle school, you know, I started being able to volunteer, and I volunteered with the little kids, and I kind of went up with the little, and then kind of up as time went on, and started doing like a WANA program, and like did VBS, and like all of these different things, just kind of hanging out with the kids and just being with them and teaching them about Jesus and all of that. And then at a point in time, it came to a realization that some of those kids that I had that were wee little people were growing up. Like, they were now in high school. I mean, I'm sorry, not high school, but they were now, like, growing up, middle school, high school, you know, because I was toward the end of my time, you know, I'd have been in my mid-20s and all of that. I'd have been volunteering for maybe at least 10 years. And so some of these kids that I volunteered with were now growing up. And even still, I still see some of those kids. I know, you know, you have some of their parents on Facebook and all of this, and you kind of see the progress. And these kids are now young adults. Some of them are married and all of this. Even at my current church, which we'll get to in a second, like, I've volunteered there for almost 15 years now. And the idea of this is just crazy, because when you think about it, like, now I'm seeing those kids growing up. And some of them are young adults, even married and all of that now. And so it's just, it's interesting to see. But anyway, so, you know, time went on. I reached, you know, young adulthood, and I'm looking for something else, you know, like, hey, you know, this has been the church of my family. It was a good church. It wasn't like I was upset at the church at this point. But, you know, I just started feeling like, hey, you know, maybe it should be time to, like, maybe find a church of my own. And go from there and see what happens, because, you know, I'd been at this church for a while. They were also going through a leadership change. And during my time in youth group, I had 4 youth pastors. So when you think about, you know, 7th grade when my youth group time started, I know it's a little different nowadays, or it's even different back then. But 7th grade is when I could go to youth group. And so 7th to 12th grade, I had 4 youth pastors. So, you know, 5 years or so, I had 4 different youth pastors. And so when the main leadership of the church, so like the lead pastor was leaving, and they were going to go through this or all of this, and it's like, well, I don't really want to go through that. And so that also is a component that started, like, maybe I should just go look for another church so I don't have to deal with, you know. And since then, like, since I really left, that church has had 3 different, at least 3 that I know of, lead pastors. And so it's like, I don't want to go, like, through that again, right? I want to go where it's established and, like, where it doesn't seem like the wheels are falling off, because it just kind of felt like chaotic a little bit. But also during that time, you know, I was in a relationship with somebody, and, you know, we were making decisions that, you know, the church thought weren't appropriate. And they weren't. I'm not going to knock the church for, you know, sin is sin, right? Like, and so we started to navigate that, and as time went on, the church found out, and the pastor that was filling in at that time, you know, brought me in and wanted to work with me, but they wanted me to, like, kick this relationship aside. They didn't want to work with us together. They wanted to just, like, kick, like, you know, me to break up and do all of that and not, like, keep her involved. They just wanted it to be just me. They weren't willing to help her. And that didn't feel right to me. It's kind of like, you know, it takes 2 to make this kind of mistake. And so when I did what they wanted, and, you know, it wasn't like, it didn't feel right. Like, but I did what they wanted, because they had, like, restricted me. Technically, I guess the word would be suspended me from all, like, service. I couldn't volunteer in the kids ministry. I couldn't volunteer on the worship team that I was on. I couldn't, you know, do any kind of volunteering at all. And then, unless I fixed this problem, and they weren't willing to work. And so I, fixed the problem, much to my, like, I went kind of against what I felt was the right thing to do. And so after a little bit of time, you know, I didn't, like, break up, you know, in the relationship and go right back and be like, all right, you know, but, you know, I waited a little bit, because I knew, like, they were looking for me to do some restoration, do some rekindling that relationship with God. Because as I said last week, sin kind of gets in that way of that relationship. And we can be in a relationship with God, but the relationship isn't super strong when sin is there in the way. And so so that happened. And as time went on, though, I got to the point where I had felt like I had spent time with God. I had felt like the relationship getting stronger. You know, I was reading my Bible. I was, like, all of these things that they would expect you to do. And I got to the point where it's like, all right, I think I want to start volunteering again, right? And the interim pastor, not even really, like, he wasn't even, like, really the lead pastor. He was just the interim pastor, and he didn't even really want to do that. So that's kind of the situation that we're in now, right? They've got this period of time where they're in transition, right? And so he, and I remember this conversation. I remember sitting in his office, like, this is just etched into my head because of the nature of it. And the shock, like, that I experienced with it. So I called a meeting with him, and I went into his office, and I sat down on the other side of his desk, you know, and I knew what they wanted. It's kind of like the way any church handles, like, even a pastor's, like, restoration track. Like, when a pastor messes up, steps into some stuff, like, typically the church kind of comes alongside him, and, you know, and they develop a program kind of deal and all of that. That wasn't even to this level, but I thought I had gotten to a point where it had been long enough and everything like that. And I remember going in there, and it's kind of like, I think, like, you know, I want to start serving again. I feel like it's time. I feel like I've made my relationship right with God, and I feel like this situation has been resolved, you know. And he looks at me, and I remember, and he says, well, I'll decide when you can start serving again. It's all good, like, that you did that, but I'll decide when you're ready. And I remember just thinking in that moment, like, what, so you're God now? So you're telling me that it's up to you, not God, it's up to you when someone's ready to volunteer in this place. And I remember I didn't rudely get up. I just, like, oh, okay. And I got up and walked out of that office and walked out of that church, and only have returned a couple times to that church within that season. And it's been a while since I've been in that church now as this episode's being recorded. But I walked out and I didn't come back in. And the reason for that is, and so now we've got that, right? The mess up, the situation, and I didn't feel like I was done. But God had also been kind of like, hey, I want you to go to this other church. I'd known of this church. It was a bigger church. It maybe had more to offer, because at the time too, like, I wanted to study to be, you know, a pastor and all of that. And so I, you know, was in that zone. And so I went to that church, and, like, immediately, like, it was just like boom, boom, boom. Like, I went in and started volunteering. And they, Easter Sunday 2009, I remember, and I went in and I started volunteering, and they were really receptive of it. You know, it was a time where they didn't ask any questions, you know, and all of that. And so I was there, and they had said some different things, you know, so I was just kind of there, just watching, observing. I expressed my interest in teaching and all of that. And they told me, I was like, oh, well, you have to do X, Y, and Z. You know, the standard, like, they just don't give anybody a microphone, right? This isn't, like, one of those things. Like, so you have to, like, talk with these people. You have to kind of watch and see what they do. You have to kind of, you know, do a co-teach with them and all of that. And by the fall of that year, I was doing teaching by myself. Like, I didn't even really have to teach with anybody else or anything like that. I don't know why, but it was just like boom, boom, boom. And these different things that they had told me were required, it seems like they just let go. And I got thinking about that, and as I was thinking about this story with Moses, I'd made thousands of excuses as to why I didn't want to go to this church. The church that I'm currently in, the church I've been at for 15 years. And the thing of it is like, I'm just, like, baffled at how God made this work, even with my excuses. Oh, God, it's too big. I don't know how to even start volunteering at a church like that. I wouldn't even know where to go. I wouldn't even know how to do it. I wouldn't even know that, like, what if they don't like me? What if they found out what I've done? You know, like Moses said, everybody's going to know. Like, and so I just, there's so many different things. And, like, this moment when that pastor of my old church told me, we'll decide when you can volunteer, I was like, that was just the deciding factor. That was just God basically working through a bad situation, right? A situation that, you know, caused me to get knocked down a little bit and just had to retrack a little bit. And God used that situation to get me out of something that I was comfortable, quote unquote, comfortable in. And God used it to direct me where He wanted me to go. And so I wonder, as I'm talking, if like you got, if someone else has a story like that, or maybe you're in a season where you just kind of don't understand something and it just doesn't seem to be adding up yet, but maybe it's because you've been resisting something that God would have you do, has laid on your heart to do, and you just keep thinking of 1,000 excuses to not do it, to not, like, oh, well, it's just that, it's hard, there's no money, like, all these things like that. And maybe it's just, he's just waiting for you to respond so you can just watch it all unfold. Because the time I started going to that church, to the time I started volunteering was just a matter of weeks. By the time I got into a teaching role was just a matter of months. And it was just crazy to see. You know, and as a matter of fact, I was a part of, like, a big kind of change in the teaching style that church did in their kids ministry. And we kind of all, like, it just kind of shifted, and I was a part of that shift, and I was able to stabilize that shift. And maybe that was a dream of theirs. Like, maybe that was something they were trying to accomplish. And so I just think about these things. So I'm wondering if that's why, and you know, we're just frustrated, and it's like, I'm comfortable here. I'm pretty sure Moses was comfortable sitting under the tree that he was sitting under watching his sheep when God lit that bush on fire and totally changed up what he was doing. And he thought of 1,000 excuses was too. I mean, there's only a few recorded in the Bible, but I wonder how many things, even Aaron, even after, like, the Bible isn't, like, what the Bible doesn't have in some of these conversations. You know, the Bible lists conversations. You know, sometimes I just wonder. I'm not being, like, against the Bible, believe me. That is not what... But, like, I often wonder sometimes if these conversations continue, like, behind the scenes. And they, you know, think different... Like, in the, you know, the conversations of Moses and Aaron that they would have had. And so... But I'm just wondering if God is just telling us, just go. Stop with all the excuses. Just like he said to Moses here. Just as he said to Moses, all right, take your brother, just go, just stop messing around, quit trying to make up these excuses. Exodus 4:12, where he says, now go, I will be with you. I will be with you as you speak. I will be with you with what to say. I will be with you. And that's true. God gives us what to say. God gives us what to do. And so I hope that these words found some encouragement for you and maybe got you to think maybe of a place where it's just kind of like you have been making excuses and it's getting to a point where the excuses have to stop and you know that they have to stop and you just got to go with God. Trust that he'll be with you. Trust that he'll go with you. Trust that he keeps his promises as we've been talking about and just walk in continued faithfulness with God. Because this is just the beginning for Moses. We're going to see over the next couple weeks that this theme, continued faithfulness, rides a lot with Moses. And even as we continue on out of the book of Exodus, as we journey through some different components of Moses' life and up until his death and different things that he ran into, this continued faithfulness. So I hope that, like I've said, these words encouraged you and that they bless you and that maybe you can find a spot where, you know, you've been kind of making excuses with God and he wants you to go do something and you know that he wants you to go do something. Your heart beats fast when you talk about it, but you're still over here and you haven't really moved forward. So I encourage you to take that step. I encourage you, whatever it is, like as we've said in this series, we either take steps toward what God wants for us, what God has for us, the promises that he has for us, the blessings that he has for us, whatever, the dreams, the hopes, the goals, all of that, the promised lands that he has. Either we take steps toward that or we take steps away from that. So I encourage you to start taking steps toward that, whatever that might look like. Pray with God about it and he'll be there to listen to you. As we talked about last week, he hears us. He knows what we're about. He knows what he knows the desires of our hearts. So take that with you this week, and I hope you'll come back next week as we continue on in this series, When God Rolls Up His Sleeves. I'll see you next time.